This is your host, Emma Grace. Welcome to the Honeycoat Awards podcast, where I will be speaking on deliverance ministry in all areas of life, just touching on what God has put into my heart and encouraging you guys in His Word. So happy that you're here. Thank you for joining me today on the Honeycoat Awards podcast. Today's episode is called The Identity Seeker. I have been really praying about this episode, and this episode's really been on my heart for quite a while now, and I definitely feel like this is something that I myself struggle with and am still learning on, and so many people struggle with, and so I felt like the Lord placed it on my heart to talk about it. So here we are today. Thank you for anyone who listens to this. I'm so happy that you're here. I would like to open us up in prayer. So Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to just be your vessel, Father, and have you really just touch the hearts of anyone who listens, Jesus. I ask that you would soften their hearts, that you would tune their ears and remove the scales from their eyes so that they may see, hear, and know you for who you truly are, God. I pray that you would just move within this podcast and you would bring healing and deliverance and ministry to whoever needs it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I give you all the praise and all the glory. So in today's podcast episode, we will be talking about one who is the identity seeker. So who is that person? Like what does it look like for someone to be an identity seeker? How do you know if you are one and if someone else is one? Two, what does it look like? Three, where does it stem from, or where can it stem from? Four, what does the enemy say about our identities? Five, what does God say about our identities? Six, deliverance and ministry. The deliverance and ministry part, I will go just kind of over how that's going to work before it starts. It's completely biblical, and I know a lot of people, when they hear someone talk about deliverance especially, they have a very wrong idea of it. And so when we get to that portion, I will explain more about why I do deliverance specifically, and obviously ministry, which is what we're doing here now. So the first one is identity seeker. So who is the identity seeker? It's someone who doesn't know their true identity and is trying to find it in other things or people. It could be in their work, their ability to accomplish something. It could be knowledge, what they know, what they think they know, what they want to know. It could be people, their responses, their opinions of them or other things, how someone else feels, thinks, or reasons. Usually the identity seeker has a problem with codependency. And what I mean by that is they have a codependent spirit. They have an attachment with someone. And this usually you can see it in, if someone else has this opinion of something, I have to have this opinion. If someone else is upset at me, I can't be okay. Like, they can't be okay if someone is upset with them. That's what a codependent spirit really thrives off of. Two, what can this look like in a person? Well, speaking from personal experience and watching others, people who struggle with codependency and the identity seeker, you know, them seeking identity in something because they have a desperate need for identity. It could be they have a hard time accepting criticism for whatever reason. They can be prideful when corrected, fall apart or spiral when someone doesn't approve of their decisions. I definitely struggled with this one, and I sometimes still struggle with it. So let's say like this person has an opinion of something, and a loved one or whoever it is, they state their opinion. Well, now the identity seeker, their thought process is, oh, well, my opinion must be wrong because this person doesn't agree with it. They have a different opinion. Oh, I'm wrong. Okay, so I'm not smart. I actually shouldn't talk about this topic. Maybe I shouldn't bring it up again. The identity seeker spirals because someone else might have a different opinion. They tend to be people pleasers. They will either overcompensate or go the complete opposite side of the pendulum. And because they want to avoid negativity, they want to avoid conflict, they want to avoid someone getting upset at them, they will do whatever they can to have someone not get upset at them. Whether it's staying away from that person, or, you know, avoidance. It could be not doing their responsibility, or they're afraid to try something new in front of that person. They're afraid to mess up or make a mistake. People pleasers. They don't have an opinion or a voice until someone else has an opinion and a voice. They base their opinions, beliefs, and feelings on others' opinions, beliefs. And it's really detrimental because we're not supposed to be just allowing people to control how we think, feel, and see things. We're supposed to be praying and using wisdom and discernment, asking the Lord to reveal, you know, what's going on in our hearts. I'm not talking about wise counsel and good, healthy friends who can talk to you about things and say, okay, I think maybe you're struggling with this. I'm talking about someone else has an opinion or a belief or a feeling about something, and because they do, you have to. That's not how we're supposed to operate at all. 3, where does it stem from? Well, it can stem from past trauma and or unloving events. So someone else can have a traumatic moment and it can really mess with their identity. It could be sexual abuse. That's a big one that can really mess with someone's identity. It could be a event that happened and someone was mortified and embarrassed. That can mess with someone's identity. I mean, it can really be just a whole host of different things. And it's important that if you think that you are an identity seeker or you struggle with that, that you ask the Lord maybe where it stemmed from. It can come with not feeling valid or validated as a child. That's a big one. It can come from middle child syndrome, which is a real thing. If you are a middle child or you are a friend of a middle child or a sibling, usually one of the things that they struggle with is not feeling heard. Another one is not feeling heard. Another one is overcritical households. That's a big one because everything gets judged and criticized. They feel like they can't do anything right. They feel like they have to either stop completely, they can't do anything new, they can't have an opinion on anything, or they go to the other opposite side of the pendulum. They have to prove something. Their opinion's always right. It's their way or the highway. It can be either or, really. The last one is generational. It could be from your mother or father's side. They struggled with it, and that wasn't broken, and so it gets passed down to the third or fourth generation. That is a real deal. I have struggled, and I struggle with generational things that are, I'm getting broken, and it can be really hard. 4, what the enemy tries to get us to believe about our identities. This is a big one. A lot of people shy away from the topic of the devil. And it's because as a lot of the church doesn't talk about it because they either, one, are too afraid to, they don't want to get judged, or two, everything is good. You know, the enemy, you just kind of put him on the back burner. Like he's kind of just there. In reality, we need to know how our enemy operates so that we know how to, one, identify the enemy, what's the enemy's voice and what's not the enemy's voice, and one, how to defend ourselves and stand firm against the enemy. It's really, really, really important and really crucial that us as believers, we know, and I'm not saying go dive into witchcraft and occultism and, you know, don't go do that, because that is a whole nother realm of things that you are not called to as a Christian to get into. But we are called to know how the enemy operates so that we can defend ourselves against the enemy, so that we know how to use God's word against the enemy. We know the enemy's voice, our voice, God's voice. That's really important. What the enemy tries to get you to believe about your identity, it could be that you aren't important. That's a big one, especially for the middle child. Middle child syndrome, they don't feel important. They don't feel heard. Their opinions don't matter. For people who struggle in a overly critical relationship or household, they're not heard. Their opinions don't matter. Their feelings don't matter. It could be that you're too sensitive. That's one that I struggled with. And every now and again, I still struggle with, or I have moments that I struggle with it, but not nearly as much anymore because I have gotten some ministry and deliverance around that area. But for people who are more sensitive to their surroundings, to the spirit, a lot of people who, or they just don't understand what you're going through in that moment or that season, a lot of comments can be, you're being too sensitive, you know, you're overreacting. And I do think that, you know, people can have a moments where they can be overly sensitive to the point to where they are taking people's words and twisting them, or they don't know how to take a step back and go, you know what, that's yours, not mine. I don't have to own that or take that. But that it could be you're too sensitive. You're not loved. You're dirty. You know all those past mistakes. You know what you just did last night, last week. Mm-mm. You're dirty. You can't bring it out into the light. You can't step into God's grace. God doesn't want you anymore. That's exactly what the enemy would want you to think. All those mistakes that you've made, making, or going to make, yada, 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 he's going to try and take that, and he's going to try and make it your identity. He's going to try and make you feel dirty. Guilt, shame, and condemnation, they make you feel dirty. That you're the exception for God's grace. This is not true. Whatever you have done in the past, you are not the exception. You are not the exception for God's grace. No matter how bad it is, no matter what you did or what you said or what's been done to you, you're not the exception. God's love doesn't pick and choose. God's love is a constant foundation that doesn't shake, and it is open for anyone and everyone. I give you my word, you are not the exception for God's grace. It could be that you're no good for the kingdom. I mean, really, what can you offer for God's kingdom? How can you point people back to the kingdom with what you just did? But you don't know enough to be able to go and minister to other people. You may as well keep your mouth shut. You don't know what you're talking about. That right there, the enemy trying to keep you silent or make you believe that you're not going to do anything good for the kingdom of God, or that, you know, your path, I mean, everyone else is just going to be better than you at this, or, you know, you're just not called for this kind of life. That's a lie. That is a lie. Your burden. That's a big one that I struggled with. The last one, obviously there's more, but you can't do anything right. People who struggle with an overcritical household or overcritical relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship, friendship, relationship with the parent or grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, whatever it is, when one or the other or both people are overly critical, it can make both or one person feel like they can't do anything right. These things the enemy will try and constantly push at us, and he will try and get us to believe that they are a part of our identities. They're not. When Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood for us willingly, went up there and shed his blood for us, he gave us the option to take off that old identity. We aren't called to wear that old identity in sin. He's called us to put on a new identity. And as we jump into number 5, what God's word says about our identity, I will just kind of tie that in. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That right there is our identity. Because of believing in Christ and what Christ did for us, we are a new creation. Our old self, our worldly sinful selves, that doesn't have any hold on us anymore. We are justified through faith. That does not mean the law doesn't have any, you know, grounds, because when we are justified through faith, what happens is faith produces a desire and longing to obey God's law, but we are not under the law, but under the law of faith. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That right there, Can you believe that that right there is an actual part of your identity? You are a chosen race. You're chosen for a specific time as this. You're not important. God chose you to be in this specific time because of what he has planned for you. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. That is why we're here, a people for his own possession. We are God's, which is why it's so important to present ourselves in a manner that is worthy, so that we can proclaim the excellencies of him and point others back to Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our old self has died. We're not under that anymore. We're not under the law. We are under faith. And because we are under faith, we get to put on the new self. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You're not a nobody just sitting here for no reason. God's got a plan for you. He's got steps that he has prepared for you to take. And because of that, it's going to advance his kingdom if you follow what he has called you to do. And that is taking one day at a time and allowing the Lord to guide your life. Instead of looking so far in the future, you know, what can I do? What am I going to do? This, and this. Allow the Lord to simply guide your steps day by day, step by step. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:24. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on that new identity. Take off the old one, the worldly one, mixed in with guilt, shame, and condemnation. Put on the new identity and walk boldly in that, guys. Walk in it. 6, we're going to go over deliverance and ministry. Deliverance is talked about in the Bible, you know, so many times. That's why in the Bible it says that we have been given power and authority to tread over serpents and scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy, that nothing shall by any means harm you. We've been given that authority for a reason, and as Christians, we are called to use it. That's why deliverance is biblical. Now, there are unbiblical ways to do deliverance. The rolling around on the floor and the shouting and screaming or condemning someone, saying you have the devil in you, that is not holy. That is not biblical. And that is not what I do here. And that's not what, you know, that's not what we're going to be doing here. So I do want to get into this deliverance. First, I want to just open it up and saying, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity, God, and I praise your name. You are the Alpha and Omega, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Lion of the tribe of Judah, Rose of Sharon. I am that I am. God, I thank you. And Lord, I thank you for the person that's listening to this right now, that you would just once again soften their heart to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so I'm actually going to ask you first to repent. And we do this because when we repent, then we get released from any judgment, any and all of that. We get released, and the Lord then is able to work through us. So say this after me: Lord, I repent, and I ask for your forgiveness for having idols above you, whatever it is, whether it be people or things, Father. I ask for your forgiveness for finding my identity and anything other than you, Father. Lord, I repent and I ask for your forgiveness. I choose to accept your forgiveness and forgive myself. Take a deep breath. Okay, so now I'm going to get into the deliverance part. So Lord, I take authority and I bind and cast out every demon concerning identity and the person or persons listening to this, all the way back to Adam and Eve on their mother and father's side. I take authority and I cast out any spirits of false identity, of guilt, shame, condemnation, self-hate, self-accusation, self-judgment, self-criticism, self-bitterness, feelings of unworthiness, any and all spirits of witchcraft and occultism, divination, and whoredoms and idolatry. All spirits of sexual immorality which confuses the identity of a person. All heavy spirits of depression, suicide, and unloving spirits. I take authority and I bind and cast out all of these in Jesus' name. Go now. Deliverance right there. That is what deliverance is supposed to be. It's the taking authority and it is the removing of anything that is not of God. And what might happen and what's going to most likely happen is whatever you're dealing with, whatever that just got removed, you know, it will try and come back. You know, that those feelings of unworthiness or, you know, that self-criticism, whatever it is, that most likely is going to have, you're going to have moments where that's going to try and come back. And what you do as a Christian, you know, because now you've had deliverance is you say, and what you do as a Christian now is you say, I choose not to receive you, blank, you know, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. I have not been given any of you spirits, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Go now. Because the enemy will try and attack you in weak spots. He's just going to. So that is all we have for today's podcast episode. I think it might be a bit of a shorter one. I'm not really sure how long this just went on, but I want to close us out in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for anyone who listened to this, God. And I pray that you would just wreck them, Jesus, that they would just sit at your feet and submit to you, Father, and to your will for their life, Lord. That you would just work through this podcast and that it would be for your glory, not for my glory. That it would be to benefit your kingdom, God, and to advance your kingdom. And I just thank you for this opportunity, God. And I pray blessings and healing and peace, deliverance and ministry over anyone listening to this. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much for listening to this, guys. I can't wait for the next podcast episode. So not next week, but the weekend after. Let me know what you guys thought. In my DMs, you can go ahead and go to Honey Coated Words, the Instagram, and you can let me know, you know, if you need any prayer requests. I'm there. I'm trying to get back to DMs, so shoot me a DM if you need to. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's podcast episode. I can't wait for the next. Bye.